The Detroit narrative of strength and resilience is well known, as is its reputation for celebrating culture, creativity, and art. This picture of Detroit is embodied in one of the city's gems, Dabble Embad, African Bead Museum, which has been in operation in West Detroit for more than 16 years. Current State's Katie Cook went to Detroit to see the museum, and she joins me now. Hey, Katie.
Hi, Mickey.
Tell us about the founder of this bead museum.
Well, his name is Oliemi Dabbles, and he's an artist and a visual storyteller. And this museum he started has become a destination for people from all over the world. I actually found out about it from my friend who lives in Texas, and she found out about it from someone who makes jewelry down there. So it just shows you how far-reaching it is, and it's not just a locally celebrated place. So it sounded so interesting to me, I had to check it out. And after my trip there, I understand why it attracts so many visitors. If you're driving through the west side of Detroit, there's one corner that will definitely catch your eye, the corner of Grand River and West Grand Boulevard. You'll see a large building that's covered in brightly colored murals and mosaic art. This is the Embad African Bead Museum. It was founded by a man named Oliemi Dabbles, and it all started with a collection.
In 1998, I began to collect African beads. And about that same time, there were three or four good books came out on dealing with the bees out of Africa. To my surprise, the bees were not used for adornment. They were used to communicate Pacific information about Pacific people or events, or initiation, rites of passage, all those things that the people deemed important could be communicated in how they wore the beads. And that's why I decided I wanted to tell the story of how those beads were used and that they were so intertwined within the community. If you removed the beads, you destroyed that particular culture.
Why did you want to have the museum here? Why did you want to tell these stories in this particular neighborhood in Detroit?
Well, that was primarily by chance. We were looking for any place to locate, but this place presented itself mainly because the owner of the property, a lady named Artie Riddick, donated the two buildings to me to build a museum. And it really didn't matter wherever we built it in the city, that would become the place where it would grow and become a part of the community. But it was important that it's in the community. It's very difficult to build something for the community in the downtown area. It's an inconvenience to come there. It costs money to come into the downtown area, but in the community, there's no parking fees, there's no hassle. There were all kinds of perks that we were not aware of at the time. Being in the community, you automatically get a lot of support because you are in the community. We're accessible to local people, and then people literally come here from all over the world to see the unique space that we have developed here, with the anchor being the bees.
I'm wondering if you have a particular type of bead or story associated with any bead that's special to you that you could tell me about?
Well, I can give you some general information about the bees that we're surrounded by. Most of these bees are averaging 300 to 400 years old, and they had special uses in the community, which could change 100 miles down the road. The bees that I like the best are the ones that were made in Ghana, because the Ghanaian people actually made their own beads, and those bees are literally known all over the world because of the technique and how they made those bees. We have bees, the red and the dot bees up there, those bees are called the Eva Eye bees. They were used to protect a person's word. The further you go back in the past, the most important thing you had was your word. We have bees that were only worn by certain members of the community. The carnelian bees were only worn by people in high rank within the Nigerian and Yoruba community. Ethiopian amber from Ethiopia. So all the beads in here, there is no bead here that has a lesser meaning or value to the people. It's just that some have been deemed more important by Western collectors, but they all have a reason for being in a particular culture in Africa.
You mentioned amber. What are some of the other materials that these beads are made of?
Glass, bronze, silver, stone like bauxite, carnelian, horn, granite stone, various animals, bone, camo. Some of the beads are made, are recycled out of glass that has been recycled that was used for commercial reasons. All the various materials on the planet at one point in time were used to make beads.
What can you tell me about the beads you're wearing right now?
The beads I have on now are 2,000 years old. They are from Mauritania, and they are called Roman eye beads, which has nothing to do with Rome. I don't know where the name came from, but they are 2,000 years old and some of the most sought after beads on the planet. So I wear them around here sometime.
They're beautiful. Thank so many you. Different colors. Yes. Are they made of clay or?
It's glass. Glass has been made for at least 5,000 years, and the color, they knew how to take various materials to add color to glass, which is melted sand.
I'm speaking with Oleamy Dabbles. He's the founder of the Dabbles Bead Museum here in Detroit. You're in the process of going through some expansion, is that right?
Yes, we received a nice grant, a matching grant, for $100,000. We're in the process of raising those funds, and it's one of those programs because of the people who come here are literally from various parts of the planet. It means our fundraiser would not be a local fundraiser. It would be an international fundraiser to raise that $100,000 to put the roof on the building. Then we will be able to display and exhibit the museum's collection. At this time, the gallery has museum quality beads in it, but these beads are for sale to underwrite the cost of operation.
The roof he's referring to is on the same building I described earlier, the one you can see on the corner. The roof caved in about 8 years ago, destroying thousands of Dabbles paintings, and they haven't been able to use the inside of the building since. The bead gallery is currently housed in a very tiny building behind this building. Dabbles says this new roof will create new opportunities.
We will be able to utilize our space year-round. Now we're just a seasonal operation here. This is the largest space we have, and most of our activities occur outside. But in the winter, when we put the roof on the building, we will be able to have workshops. Our community will be able to use our space to do whatever they want to do. And that was one of the side effects of being here, is the people from the community get to use this space at no cost to them to do their programming. So we are serving a much needed venue space in the community. We don't charge people to use our space.
Aside from serving as a bead gallery, museum, and community space, Dabbles African Bead Museum is also a work of art. Dabbles explains that that wasn't always part of the plan.
Well, it was part of the growth process. When we first moved here in 1999, the economy had collapsed in the African community. So there was no way for us to move forward with the Bead Museum. But this space was here. There was debris, rubbish all over the place. So we decided to just beautify the area, to clean the area up. And the first thing we did was to paint murals on the building, and the community welcomed that with open arms. So we decided that we would clean the lot in back of the museum. And as we were doing that, the Greening of Detroit went to city council saying that if there was a lot, a person could grow a garden. And in that garden, if there was space, the artist could put art up. So under that umbrella, we began to build those installations out there. And the installations kind of like catapulted us onto the world stage. And 16 years later, we're in a better position to open the Bead Museum now because we have visitors. There were two other museums that had opened in this country, and they both failed after about 5 years of operating because they couldn't create an interest in beads. It wasn't the time, it wasn't right. So at this point in time, there's an interest in beads all over the world by all kinds of people. So the museum has a much better chance of operating as a bead museum. But our installations stand up on themselves because of the theme behind them.
That theme is the relationship between Africans and Europeans, and it's expressed with a variety of different materials in 18 different installations that make up the sculpture garden.
This is an installation that took over 16 years to make. It's titled Iron Teaching Rocks How to Rust. It's a metaphor that deals with the relationship of Africans and Europeans over the last 500 years. And that's what this whole installation is detailing in these installations, certain aspects of that experience of Africans and Europeans.
One of the installations is a washing machine with various materials inside.
The washing machine is a symbol for cleaning things. There's iron, rocks, and wood in the washing machine, which says no matter who you are, you cannot wash away what you are. You see qualities in others, respect those qualities, but never try to be no more than yourself, because you are the it. It's not someone else.
Looking across the sculpture garden, you can see chunks of concrete scattered among the art installations, and you can't really tell if it's random or intentional. It turns out there's a story behind this.
In 1996 or 97, the city of Detroit redid Grand River. Now, in those days, they wasn't recycling the road as they went along, so they were taking the old concrete somewhere else and grinding it up. So this was the area that they dumped the concrete they didn't use. So when we came here, we had all these slabs of concrete and stuff. And the city said, you know, you need to talk to the people who left it. So I knew that was going to be a runaround. So I said, now what would nature do? Nature would just cover this stuff up and grass grow over it. So this is not landscape. This is the result of all these concrete slabs and things. You can't dig three feet anywhere out here without running into concrete. And you can see pieces of the concrete and debris kind of coming through. But it made for a good landscape, because we got these Roman hills and valleys out here now. It makes it a natural place for an exhibit to exist.
The last part of this outdoor exhibit is really impressive. There's an African language wall, which is a long wall with phrases of 28 different African languages painted on it. And then there's the Nkisi House. This is a huge house covered completely in painted murals and fragments of iron, rocks, wood, and mirrors.
One day I was out here, and the inspectors were out here, and I asked them, what are you going to do with this property? They said, well, it's a process of 3 years. We're going to tear it down. So I said, okay, can I put some art on it? They said, do what you want with it. It's not our property.
So Dabbles and his artists turned it into a work of art and called it the Nkisi House. That's N-K-I-S-I. Nkisi originated in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. They are spirits or objects that spirits inhabit. Dabbles describes the Nkisi as a source of power and protection, which is what he says he wanted for the house.
So I asked this house to do three things when I built it, that the graffiti artists wouldn't tag it, the vandals wouldn't vandalize it, and the city wouldn't see it. Because at that time, we were operating outside of the law of the city. But since then, they have allowed us to operate here.
Visiting Dabbles African Bead Museum is not only a feast for the eyes, it's an enlightening experience. Through the beads and murals and sculptures, you're connected to the powerful history of African culture.
That's what we're doing here, is educating in a very artistic way, where we're not making people defensive, blaming, inflaming. We're just trying to get the point of the story across as to, because history should be used as a vehicle to educate about things that can change the present, not excite people from the past.
For Current State, I'm Katie Cook.